Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Hoping you're having a very pleasant Friday. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. Today we are wrapping up a look at a Gospel Topics essay that was posted by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in December of 2015, titled Joseph Smith's Teachings About Priesthood, Temple, and Women. Today we're going to be looking at the section that deals with the Nauvoo Relief Society, and as the article explains, wanting to provide charitable support to men working to build the temple, this would be the temple in Nauvoo, Illinois, a group of Mormon women planned to form a benevolent society mirroring a popular practice of the time. When they presented their plan to Joseph Smith, he felt inspired to move beyond such precedents. And so this organization was founded. It was like a women's auxiliary movement. The women appointed Joseph Smith's wife, Emma, to be the first president of the Relief Society. But I want to move down, Eric, to where it talks about some of the language that Joseph Smith used at the very beginning when this society was being formed. And the reason why I think this finds its way into this essay is because this is going to address some of the arguments that women such as those who are sympathetic to the group Ordain Women have been using. And what they're saying is that Smith said some things that sound to them, at least, that Joseph Smith was bestowing the priesthood to women that were in this relief society. So let's go down to that paragraph where it talks about two aspects of Joseph Smith's teaching to the women of the Relief Society may be unfamiliar to members of the church today.
First is his use of language associated with priesthood. In organizing the Relief Society, Joseph spoke of ordaining women and said that Relief Society officers would preside over the society. He also declared, quote, I now turn the key to you in the name of God, end quote. These statements indicate that Joseph Smith delegated priesthood authority to women in the Relief Society. Joseph's language can be more fully understood in historical context. During the 19th century, Latter-day Saints used the term keys to refer at various times to authority, knowledge, or temple ordinances. Likewise, Mormons sometimes use the term ordain in a broad sense, often interchangeably with set apart, and not always referring to priesthood office.
Well, let me stop you there, because I think this is what the church wants to clear up with some of the female members who might assume that what they think Smith was giving to the women at that time, and they're saying no. Notice the language in the first sentence of that second paragraph you read. These statements indicate that Joseph Smith delegated priesthood authority to women in the Relief Society, not that he gave them the priesthood. See, that's what the church, I think, is wanting to clear up.
Right.
A lot of the proponents of those who feel that women should have the priesthood in the Mormon church have used this statement by Joseph Smith to say, hey, wait a minute. Smith gave the priesthood to them back then. Well, why won't you let us have it now? And what the church is arguing is, no, that language shouldn't be understood that way. It should merely be understood that Smith at the time, when he was talking about ordaining women, was merely delegating priesthood authority. And where would that priesthood authority originally come from? It, of course, in the context of Mormonism, would have come from Joseph Smith and the priesthood authority that Mormons feel he had.
And so in the rest of that paragraph, it says in the Gospel Topics essays on these points, Joseph's actions illuminate the meaning of his words. Neither Joseph Smith nor any person acting on his behalf, nor any of his successors conferred the Aaronic or Melchizedek priesthood on women or ordained women to priesthood office. And it goes on and then says, in later years, words like ordination and keys were more precisely defined, as when President John Taylor, who acted by assignment from Joseph Smith to, quote, ordain and set apart, end quote, Emma Smith and her counselors explained in 1880 that the ordination then given did not mean the conferring of the priesthood upon those sisters.
Now, how would the women in the Mormon church who disagree with that conclusion, how would they take a statement made by John Taylor in 1880? They would probably argue, well, that's way after the fact. You're reinterpreting words that we feel were understood a certain way at the time they were spoken. It would be kind of like what we've been talking about in the past couple of broadcasts about these retroactive revelations. You have to go back and clarify yourself or put in more information to bring them up to speed. I don't know if this is going to be all that convincing to many of the women in the Mormon church who feel that they should be given the priesthood, especially groups like ordained women that we've been talking about earlier.
There's something that the ordained women need to understand is that the church is telling you quite definitively that no, you've never had it, and no, you can't have it. And it sounds like they're also saying in this essay, no, you will never have it. And members of the Ordained Women organization are not willing to accept that. But if you accept that Joseph Smith had the priesthood and that he had Aaronic and Melchizedek priesthood bestowed on him, that he could give that to the women, well, that's not certainly happening today.
No, it's not. And I think what's troubling to me, and I admit I'm an outsider looking in, what concerns me about this whole thing is I think that the Ordained Women group and other female members of the Mormon church who feel that they can change the leadership in the church to conform to their way of thinking, why doesn't that thought alone open their eyes to the fact that if a lot of females in the Mormon church complain loud enough and long enough that eventually they're going to change the mind of the male mortal leaders of their church, doesn't that somehow also tell you that this isn't really a divinely inspired church where men get their teachings from God himself? You mean to tell me that you really think that you can complain long enough and loud enough to get these men to acquiesce to your position? Where is God in all this? Because, see, they feel like they've been ignored because the church is not addressing their concerns. Whereas I think the church might argue, no, it's not that we've ignored them. We've basically answered them by not changing our position. So if you're going to believe, as a lot of these female members are supposed to believe, that their leaders are ordained from God and speak on the behalf of God, why is it they're not accepting the decree that the church has put forth, such as in this essay?
And that's an excellent point, because the current leadership is saying, no, sorry, no, and we're not going to meet with you, even without the press. We're just not going to entertain anything you have to say. And I don't think they're willing to listen. But I think the women are complaining loudly because in their minds, this is my own idea perhaps, but this happened in 1978 where it didn't look like the blacks would ever be able to get the priesthood, and they got it. And there were a lot of people complaining back through the 60s and into the 70s. A lot of African Americans were complaining and they ended up getting it. So could this possibly be a response to that, as maybe if we just let them know hard enough and long enough, maybe we can also get the priesthood?
I have heard some Mormon women use that as perhaps a precedent for future change on this particular issue. I don't personally see that happening like that.
Why not, Bill?
Well, I just think that the issue facing the church back in the 1970s when it came to those of African heritage is a little bit different here. I don't know as if a federal government is going to get itself involved in this type of an issue when a church is setting forth how it operates with its leadership and such. I don't think the federal government wants to get involved in that. Whereas before, in the 1978 issue with the priesthood given to those of African heritage, this was looked at as a civil rights issue. And so the government did take an interest in that. A Mormon woman might argue, well, see, that shows they don't care about women, as they probably should. I don't know. I just don't personally see this as something that's going to happen in a very short time. Maybe down the road, such as with the reorganized Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints that later became the Community of Christ. Now, they claim that their roots go back to Joseph Smith as well, but they ordain women in the Community of Christ. Some might argue, well, if a lot of these female members don't like the way this system is being run, why don't they go to the Community of Christ? How would a Mormon woman respond to that? Should they go to those organizations that conform more to the view that they have? I'm sure the Mormon church leadership wishes they would if they feel so strongly about that.
Now, in this section dealing with the Relief Society, they do mention a lady. Her name is Sarah Kingsley Cleveland, and it says that she was a counselor to Emma Smith and expressed the women's sense of divine authorization when she said, quote, "We designed to act in the name of the Lord." What's special about Sarah Kingsley Cleveland?
Well, Sarah Kingsley Cleveland was one of many plural wives of Joseph Smith. And that's one thing that this doesn't bring out. And I don't expect this particular aspect of women in the priesthood to be brought up when it refers to the Relief Society. But the Relief Society, as far as I'm concerned, was, if nothing else, it was one way Joseph Smith could pool a lot of the women who would probably become potential plural wives for himself. In fact, Sarah Kingsley Cleveland was married to Joseph Smith as a plural wife. She was older in age, but she was also married at the same time to a guy by the name of John Cleveland. So this was one of those polyandrous relationships that we hear when it comes to Mormon polygamy. But a number of the women that were a part of the Relief Society, Joseph Smith had married as polygamous wives. Emma didn't even know this. And so while she's telling her followers in the Relief Society that they should be seeking out these acts of iniquity and these horrible, vicious rumors about her husband practicing polygamy, some of the very women that he was married to were sitting right in front of her.
And we ought to point out that Sarah was the first counselor of the Relief Society. And in his book, In Sacred Loneliness, Todd Compton writes this on page 279, "Sarah joined Emma in trying to keep polygamy rumors from circulating, though with a contrasting motive. While Emma wanted to squash polygamy, Sarah wanted to keep it secret." So here's a friend of hers on the council, and she's not letting Emma know that she's married to her husband, and so she doesn't want this to become public for the reason that she doesn't want to be found out as being a secret wife of Joseph Smith.
This is one of those areas where I personally take extreme dislike to Joseph Smith. What kind of a man does that to his wife, that while she's up there telling these followers in the Relief Society that we need to stamp out these horrible rumors about my husband, and yet the reason for those horrible rumors are sitting right in front of her, they don't tell her, Joseph Smith doesn't tell her, but goes on allowing her to be played like a fool in front of her peers, I think is just horrible.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Since it was first released back in 2009, the book, In Their Own Words, a collection of Mormon quotations, has helped many Christians better understand what Mormon leaders and manuals have taught regarding the Mormon faith. Compiled by Mormonism Research Ministries' Bill McKeever, the new enlarged and expanded edition comes with a CD that includes a searchable PDF version of the book. In Their Own Words is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore, located right there in Salt Lake City, or order it directly online at mrm.org.